Today we're going to move on into the seventh chapter of the book of Proverbs. And I'm going to read it entirely from the New Living Translation. It says, "Keep yourself pure." Verse 7, "Follow my advice, my son. Always treasure my commandments." Isn't that precious? That's the word of Solomon to his son. But let's take that from our Heavenly Father as a personal admonition from him, that we treasure his commandments. Obey them and live. Guard my teachings as your most precious possession. Tie them on your fingers as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Again, a reference to the passage back in Deuteronomy. Love wisdom like a sister, verse 4 says. Make insight a beloved member of your family. Let them hold you back from an affair with an immoral woman and from listening to the flattery of an adulterous woman. Again, we have the same warning that we saw repeated in several of the chapters previous about the strange woman who flatters with the tongue. Here it talks about the flattery of an adulterous woman. It seems that that these words have such a powerful effect. And we know that words do have a powerful effect. We know that words have a creative ability, because it says that God, over and over in Genesis 1, said, "Let there be," and there was. That's how God created. And the power of words, the power of suggestion here, of flattery, is meant to lead people astray. Remember that Satan comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy, according to Jesus in John 10:10. And so one that's an emissary of Satan, we may not think of her in that way, but this adulterous woman is an emissary of Satan. She's there to steal, kill, and destroy. And she's using her words to do that. Verse 6. And here we have an object lesson from Solomon. It's a proverb, but also a parable. It says, "I was looking out of the window of my house one day, and I saw a simple-minded young man who lacked common sense. He was crossing the street near the house of an immoral woman. He was strolling down the path by her house at twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in." I believe the King James says, "in the evening, in the twilight, and in the black and dark night." The way that I read that is that he kept going back. He went by once, he went back home, he went by again a little later in the evening, and then finally he came at the black and dark night. He was being tempted, and perhaps even trying to resist temptation, but he kept going back closer and closer. The moth to the flame, that attraction was there. Something inside him knew better, but he kept going back until his defense was weakened and he finally gave in. And the woman approached him, dressed seductively and sly of heart. This tells us another thing about this woman that's being described. First, that she's a flatterer. She's going to use her words, her smooth talk. The proverb previous to this, a few back pages back, told us about her words being smoother than oil, but she being deadly poison. She approached dressed seductively. And modesty of dress is the hallmark of a Christian woman, a virtuous woman. This woman is diametrically opposed to the woman that we read about in Proverbs 31, who's the virtuous woman, whose price is greater than rubies. But this woman is dressed seductively. That tells us that sisters in the Lord should dress in a way that honors God and does not lead men astray. And that's between the woman and the Holy Spirit to determine how to dress. I'm not going to try to dictate any set of rules about how a woman should dress. I have a wife and daughters, and there are some things that I'll speak up if I feel that it's not appropriate. But of course, a woman needs to demonstrate godly character in the way she dresses. That's enough to be said right there. She was brash and rebellious, the brash and rebellious type who never stays home. The Word of God is very clear and very descriptive of this type of woman. She is often seen in the streets and in the markets, soliciting at every corner. So it's clear what we have here is a prostitute. Verse 13, she threw her arms around him and kissed him, and with a brazen look she said, I've offered my sacrifices and just finished my vows. Now what that means is that this has to do with the laws regarding menstrual cycle here. It is you I was looking for. I came out to find you, and here you are. My bed is spread with colored sheets of finest linen imported from Egypt. It's clear what her intentions are from the very beginning. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloe, and cinnamon. Come, let us drink our fill of love until morning. Let's enjoy each other's caress. Verse 19 tells us that she's married, for my husband is not home. He's away on a long trip. He has taken a wallet full of money with him, and he won't return until later on in the month. So she seduced him with her pretty speech. With her flattery, she enticed him. He followed her at once, like an ox going to the slaughter, or like a trapped deer or stag, it says here, awaiting the arrow that would pierce its heart. He was like a bird flying into a snare, little knowing it would cost him his life. And so he tells this story of the young man and the flattering woman. But really, we need to take the advice of this, because the world is a flatterer. The world makes promises. And I'd like to turn over for a minute to the book of James in the New Testament. And though we do need to be careful of actual adulterous affairs, not get involved in anything like that, remember that we, especially married men and women, Christian married men and women, have made a covenant before God. And the scripture tells us in Hebrews that marriage is honorable in all, and the bed is undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. I want to turn to James. That scripture I just quoted, by the way, is in Hebrews chapter 13. But I want to come to James, and chapter 4, verse 4, it says, you adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with this world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if your aim is to enjoy this world, you can't be a friend of God. What do you think the scriptures mean when they say that the Holy Spirit, whom God has placed within us, jealously longs for us to be faithful? The scripture tells us that we are the bride of Christ, and that we are to be loyal and faithful to Him and Him alone. And we cannot love the world and love the Lord at the same time. Jesus said it this way, you cannot love God and mammon. No one can serve two masters. You'll either love the one and despise the other, or hold to the one and hate the other. And so it's important for us to remember that Jesus comes first. We seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. 1 John chapter 2, keeping up this theme, verse 15, stop loving this evil world and all that it offers you. For when you love the world, you show that you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only the lust for the physical pleasure, the lust of everything we see, and pride in our possessions. These are not from the Father, they are from this evil world, and the world is fading away along with everything it craves. But if you do the will of God, you will live forever. That's the promise of eternal life for those who love the Lord and are faithful to Him. Praise God. Verse chapter 7, back to Proverbs. We're going to close up. It's just a few more verses. Verse 24, listen to me, my sons, and pay attention to my words. Don't let your hearts stray away toward her. Don't wander down her wayward path, for she has been the ruin of many. Numerous men have been her victims. Her house is the road to the grave. Her bedroom is the den of death. There's just no place in the Christian's life for compromise. We are to be people of impeccable character. This character comes to us by virtue of the fact that we have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been cleansed from our past sins. And we not only have been washed in the blood of Jesus, but we have the Holy Spirit who lives within us, who guides us and leads us into all truth. One of the ways that he guides us into truth is by convicting our conscience whenever we are in a compromising situation, when we're being tempted. He's there to give grace to overcome every temptation. The Holy Spirit is always there to provide the means of escape and to lead us out of that temptation. That's what we pray for when we pray the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation. We're actually praying that the Holy Spirit would lead us out of temptation. First, we have the blood of Christ. Secondly, we have the power of the Holy Spirit. Next, we have the Word of God, the Scriptures. Psalm 119 tells us, how can a young man keep his way pure? By taking heed to the Word of God. The Word of God will keep you holy by keeping it in your memory. And that is why chapter 7 started the way it did. Follow my advice, my son, and always treasure my commandments. Obey them and live. Guard my teachings as your most prized possession. Tie them on your fingers as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. When the Word of God is first place in your life, it will keep you from temptation. God's Word becomes that two-edged sword with which we fight the enemy. Remember, Jesus was a man like we are. He was also God, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, but yet he was fully human. And when he was tempted in the wilderness, we read about it in Mark chapter 1, we read it about it in Matthew chapter 4, we read the story of Jesus' temptation. And the scripture tells us that he was tempted in every way that we are, yet without sin. That's in the book of Hebrews. Jesus, when he was tempted, always answered with this phrase, "It is written." What was he doing? He was quoting the scriptures to the devil. Now the devil turned it around on him and said, "It is written, you know, if you jump down from this mountain, the angels, God will give angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways so that you won't dash your foot against a stone." And what he was actually doing was quoting or really misquoting the 91st Psalm. But Jesus countered with the Word of God, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." Jesus did not depend on his own, willpower to resist temptation. He didn't just say, "Oh no, I'm not going to do that." He didn't depend on human strength. He depended on the Word of God. And when you're tempted, speak the Word of God out of your mouth. No, it is written. And speak just like he did. Do what he did, because he did it successfully. The only one who ever perfectly resisted every temptation. And he did it by using the Word of God. And so when we're tempted by the world, we're tempted with the things mentioned here in chapter 7 of the book of Proverbs, let's remember that it's the Word of God that's going to give us the victory every single time.